Hey guys, something's happening this week, and it's happened already for some. Is school's going back, right? And so our prayer focus. If you look in your bulletin, if some of you guys are surprised that the prayer focus is there, I'm gonna have to like whack you with the bulletin. But it's students, it's families, it's teachers, it's our school staff, it's district employees, homeschool, public school, private school. We're gonna pray for them this morning. We're gonna lift them up to the Lord and then pray for our service this morning. You don't need to stand up. Announcements will be here in just a second. So Father God, we love you. God, we're grateful that we get to gather and we get to make much of Jesus. And we have many reasons to do that, God. So we pray, Lord, today that our hearts and our minds, our eyes, our ears, everything would be geared towards you today and what you're teaching us. God, we pray, Lord, that you'd be in charge. We know that you're in charge, but help us have that attitude, that submissive, humble heart to listen to you and just to give it to you today. God, I pray, Lord, to be with our voices, God, that just from our hearts, God, that we would sing to and about you. God, we lift up our community, our families, our students, parents, teachers, staff, leadership, the district, God, as we are, some have already started, some are about to start, and God, it's just a different year. But God, you're the same God, and you're the one that's in control, and so we just trust you with all that. And so, Lord, if we have a moment of stress, we give it to you. If we have a moment of anxiety or fear or worry, we just give it to you, God, because you're in control. So, God, we pray, Lord, for those that are teaching. God, we pray, Lord, that the parents, the students, God, we pray for your protection over everybody as we come back and begin to do school even a little bit different. God, we pray for grace, patience with one another, love for one another. So God, we just lift all that up to you. We thank you for our school here, that we get to bless, God. We're going to bless them on Monday with just some food and just to be able to encourage them as they come back. So God, we pray, Lord, today as a church, God, that you would be at work and move within us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Emily.
Amen. As Pastor Jeff said, welcome to Authentic Life Church. So did I hear correctly? You're bringing me food tomorrow while I homeschool? Is that what I heard?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. We'll sign up for slots.
Just wait for it.
Joking online, okay? Welcome to Authentic Life Church. We're so glad that you're here with us today, whether you're online or whether you're here in person. We're glad that you have joined us. We want to let you know if you are still with us in person, we have our tithes and offerings and our connection card box. You can drop your connection cards and your tithes and offerings in the back, but you can also do that online. We want to stay connected to you. Even if you're here online, you can use your connection card. You can find that at our website, www.authenticlifeaz.com. You can drop off your connection card, let us know if you're interested in joining one of our small groups. You can let us know if you have questions about anything, if there's prayer requests and ways that we can pray for you. So even if you're not comfortable joining us in person yet, you can still connect with us online. We also have life groups that are still meeting, some in person and some online. So you can still join one of those. Pastor Jeff is starting a praying life. And hopefully, if you haven't already signed up for that with your connection card or by just emailing him, this week he would like to kind of set up the schedule for that. So if you haven't already, let him know that you're interested in doing that. The book that we'll be going through is called A Praying Life. And we also, I missed, I think, probably the most important announcement last week that Pastor Jeff had a birthday. So all month long, apparently, is still a national holiday. Just FYI, if you missed that, let him know. I'm joking. Anyway, we do appreciate Pastor Jeff and all that he does for us, and we're only sort of giving him a hard time. We love you, but we're glad that you joined us today. If it's your first time, visit us in the back, and we have a gift for you. If it's your first time online, we're so glad that you're here with us today. Please let us know how we can help you, connect with you. If you're struggling in some area, even if you're not here with us in person, let us know through your connection card online. And I'm going to turn it over to the praise team now.
Hey, morning. Yeah, so today's passage that Pastor Jeff is going to preach on talks about singing a psalm, a hymn, and a spiritual song. So today's worship service, we're going to sing one of each. We're going to start off with the one we introduced last week. Thank you. posture.
There we go. Be good if I turn myself on. Let's try it again. Good morning. Yeah, it's good, man. Thanks for leading us, man, in that time of worship. Thanks for the guys in the back helping make that possible as well. It's just good to be here to get today. You know, Derek and I were talking before church. Sometimes he and I struggle. I don't know how you guys are, but if you got something big coming up the next day, sometimes you don't sleep well. And, man, I'm just praising God. I got 5 hours last night, you know, like, so yeah, that's good stuff, man. And hey, guys, we're just going to dive in. As a church, we've been taking this walk through and studying the book of Ephesians, the epistle, the letter, whatever you want to call it. And God used the Apostle Paul, originally writing this to the church in Ephesus, right? But it's also just for us today. Little background, Ephesians is only 6 chapters long. It might take up 3 or 4 pages in your Bible. It's 155 verses, but each word is so very important for us as we follow Jesus and we live our lives individually, right? But also as we pursue Him as the church. In fact, many suggest that this book is one of the most valuable in highlighting the importance of the church and the unity of the church. Ephesians is broken into 2 main sections. The first half focuses on who we are because of Jesus. If you weren't here for that, can't always give like a full recap, so jump online and listen to those sermons or read verse or chapters 1 through 3. But you're going to see this, that if you know Jesus personally, if He has saved you and He is Lord and Savior in your life, man, He has said that you are now chosen. You are adopted into the family of God. You are rescued. You are forgiven. You are set free. And we are heirs of God. And I just love this. We are fully and perfectly loved by God. Every single one of us can say there have been times in our life where we were not perfectly loved. Amen? But God is perfectly loving us. And so then, where are we at? There we go. Chapter 1, verse 13, it says that we are sealed. Right? I just love that word, that we are sealed, meaning this, when we come to Jesus for salvation and He saves us and adopts us, we are forever His. The Bible tells us that no one can ever pluck us out of the Father's hands, right? Nobody else saved us except Him. No one else can take that away. No one can ever make you not His. Verse 13 says this, having believed. So if you know Christ, you believed in Jesus as your Savior, it says you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance. Here's what that means. The Holy Spirit, when we're saved, He comes and He lives within us and He makes us secure, church. His seal gives evidence that we belong to God. Chapters 4 through 6, Paul says, hey, guys, because you belong to God, because of who you are, because you follow Jesus, because you are made new, he says, walk this way, live this way, right? Live in such a way that your life gives evidence that you belong to Jesus. But here's the sad news. We can't do that on our own. Amen. We've tried to do that on our own. The world has been trying to live up to God's standard on their own for a long time. But Paul tells us, hey, you've got the Holy Spirit residing within you. He enables us. He leads us. He makes it all possible. And the only way that we can live the life Jesus calls us to is because the Holy Spirit gives us the power and the ability to do that. Chapter 5, verse 1, Paul says, okay, church, because you follow Jesus, because you're part of the family of God, because of all that, be and keep on becoming imitators of God as beloved children. It's a command, church, right, to imitate God as His children. And it's a command that touches every single part of our life. In our speech, in our thought, in our actions, we are to live out God's characteristics in our life. And in chapter 5, Paul tells us that means that we're to walk and love as Jesus loves, right? Think about the person that's hard to love and love them, Right? Love them as Jesus has loved you. We're to walk in the light of the Lord. We're to walk in wisdom and to be intentional about being with God in prayer and being in the Word, listening and reading so that we can eventually understand it and apply it. That's godly wisdom, right? Knowing God's truth, seeing life through God's perspective, and then applying that to our lives. Because the Bible says, if we know what the Bible says, if we know what God says, and we don't apply it, that's foolish. It's sinful. And then we come to our text this morning. If you guys have your Bibles, grab them. Hey, by the way, if you don't have a Bible, come to me right after church. We'll make sure we've got plenty. We'll give you one. That'll be our gift to you, so please do that. But turn them to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to begin in verse 18. And so, leading up to this, Paul has been teaching us how to follow Jesus. How do we live as a church family? How do we walk with the Lord? He's taught us, hey, stop doing this, stop sinning, right? And then begin to do this. He tells us how to follow Jesus. And then we come to this part in this letter, and Paul seems to hit kind of an awkward pause where he brings our attention to the Holy Spirit. Right? So church, I want us to stand and follow along as I read this morning, but Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 through 21. Let's stand to honor God. If you're at home, hey, you're part of the church, let's stand and to honor God by reading this morning if you're able. The Bible tells us this. God's word says, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ." Church, let's pray. God, we come to you today just grateful for you. God, in a world of craziness and uncertainty, you just stand firm. God, help us be reminded today of who you are and what you did. God, we pray, Lord, today that we would walk out of here much more like Jesus than when we walked in, but that's because we're with you. Be honored today, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. All right, so here's the thing. Leading up to this point, Paul has been saying, hey, church, imitate God as his children. Walk in love. Walk in the light of the Lord. Be careful how you walk and walk in wisdom, right? And as we walk in wisdom, we're to make the most of our time understanding the will of God and apply all that to our lives. So we have all those verses about our walk and how we're to live. And then Paul, it seems as though we have an ADD moment. Anybody else in here have ADD? I do, so I love this, man. It's just good. It's not really an ADD moment, but it seems like it, right? Or it kind of seems like Paul's like, oh, wait, I forgot to tell you something, so let's go and talk about that real quick. But he transitions directly into verse 18 by saying, he's like, walk in wisdom, right? Understand the word of God, and do not get drunk with wine, right? And I think it's a perfectly timed pause by Paul to bring our attention to the Holy Spirit and to bring our attention to the importance of who he is and also what happens when we are filled with him. All of verse 18 says this, don't get drunk with wine, for that's dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Chapter 5, verse 1, very foundational verse. Be imitators of God, right? As beloved children, that's very foundational as we live our life with Christ. And then we come to this particular point, another foundational verse. Another foundational verse. For us to be able to walk in wisdom, we need this truth from verse 18 where Paul tells us, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we're going to talk about why Paul brings up being drunk in a bit, but I think we need to begin with the question of this. Who is the Holy Spirit? We know what alcohol is. We know what drunkenness is. We get all that. But who is the Holy Spirit? And as we've walked through this, we've touched on it a bit, answering it here and there. But Paul is telling us that we're to be filled with him. So let's look at God's word and see who he is. So let's think about this. We live in Tucson. There's many different false teachings, right? There's a lot of different beliefs about who God is and the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Some teach and believe that the Holy Spirit is only a force, right? That he is like a wind or a power or a movement of God. But every one of those descriptions fall way short of who the Holy Spirit is. Because according to the Word of God, and we're going to look at this, he is God. He's a person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. He is fully God. The third person, right? You have God the Father, fully God. Amen? You've got God the Son, Jesus, fully God. You've got God the Holy Spirit, again, fully God. We were sitting at the dinner table, I don't know, about a couple weeks ago, and we were talking about God, and one of my kids asked and said, "What? So you've got Jesus, and you've got God the Father, and you've got the Holy Spirit. How does all of that work? So I let my wife tackle that one, right? And she gets to one point where you just kind of have to say, there are some things in Scripture that you just can't explain. There are just some things that you can't explain. All three, God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all equally God. All three are completely and perfectly united as one God. There's no division in there, but there's three different persons and personalities, church. God's a big and powerful and amazing God, and He is beyond our comprehension and bigger than our understanding. And this is one of those ministries, church, about God that should draw us closer to Him, right? Hey, teach me more about that. There are just some things that are too big for us to understand. And I'm going to be honest with you, that's good news. That's good news, church, right? That He is beyond our understanding. It's good news that there are things about Him that, like the Trinity, that are beyond our comprehension. You know, it's hard for us to admit that we don't know everything. Amen? It is. It's hard for us to admit that. But we do not want God to be able to be fully understood by our human minds. Because then God wouldn't be God. God is wiser. He's all-knowing. He's above our thinking. He's above our ways, our knowledge, and our understanding. It's just one thing that makes Him God. Isaiah 55, 8 through 9, we see this. God is saying, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways. This is the Lord's declaration. Listen to this. For as heaven is higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than yours. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. But even if we can't fully understand it, God the Holy Spirit is fully God, just as God the Father and God the Son. And church, that's found throughout all of Scripture. That you don't just have to take my word for it. It's found throughout all of Scripture, from creation, Genesis chapter 1, all the way to the end. Here's just some verses that talk about the Holy Spirit being God. Genesis 1, Job 26, Isaiah 32, Psalm 104, Zechariah 4, Numbers 27, Judges 3. And we can go on and on and on about the Holy Spirit actually being the third person of the Trinity and not just a movement or a force. Amen, church? That's good stuff. All throughout the New Testament, we read of and we see the Holy Spirit at work as God. And here's the great thing. The Holy Spirit isn't just this distant being. He's personal. He's very personal. He relates, He grieves, He leads, He empowers, He teaches, He is with us. Right? Listen to how Jesus describes the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14, here's what's happening. Jesus is about to give His life, right? He's going to die. He's going to be buried. He's going to raise again on the third day. He tells His disciples that plenty of times, right? He's teaching them all that. But then He's also preparing them for something else, because when Jesus rises again, He's going to be on earth for a little bit. And then He's going to ascend into heaven to be with the Father. And so He's preparing His disciples. Think about that, church. If you're walking with Jesus in person, He's like, hey, dudes, I'm checking out. Like, I'm going to be up here. I'm not really, like, leaving you, right? But I'm not going to be here like I am right now. Does that make sense? Checking out probably wasn't the best phrase. But you get what I'm saying? Like I'm not going to be here. I'm going to be with the Father. And He says this. He says, and I will ask the Father, because they're all united, and He will give you another counselor or helper to be with you forever. He is the Spirit of truth. The world is unable to receive Him because it doesn't see Him or know Him. But you do know Him, because He remains with you and will be what, church? In you. Man, that was good. You guys are good. Jesus, church, here. Jesus is not describing a force or a movement. He is describing the person, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, church, is one to be known. You don't know the wind. You don't know a force. You don't know the power. You know a person. Jesus says the Father will give you another counselor. Let's look at what those words mean. The word another, that phrase translated in the Greek literally means another of the same kind. Okay? It's not just like a cheap counterfeit, right? Or just like a cheap replacement, right? He's given us another of the same kind. So God the Son, Jesus, isn't leaving them with someone lesser. He's leaving them with God, the Holy Spirit. The word counselor. Man, this name, this title, this word was used on purpose because it has many meanings. You know what it means? It means things like this: counselor, comforter, helper, advocate, intercessor. It means all of those things. And Jesus says that He is to be with you forever. He also says He remains with you and will be in you. When we know Jesus, church, when we are saved and adopted into God's family, the Holy Spirit immediately comes and resides within us. What's he do? Well, he lives with us as our helper, as our comforter, as our counselor. He convicts us. He helps us fight sin. He helps us resist temptation. He helps us lay aside sinful things that aren't good for us, right? He helps us pursue Jesus and imitate God and helps us walk with God. He helps us as we navigate life as Jesus followers. And then Jesus says he is the Spirit of truth. Guys, here's the reality. He points us to all things that are true and right. He helps us see God's truth. He helps us see Jesus, right? And he can't do anything outside of pointing us to the truth. Why? Because that's who he is. Right? Amen, church? That's who he is. The Holy Spirit constantly is pointing us to the cross and to the resurrection and to Jesus and to being with God and to the truth. It's the Holy Spirit, church, that makes it possible for you to obey God. He leads us to repentance. He enables us to share the gospel. And he does all that from within us. Church, the Holy Spirit is God and he's personal. Amen. Man, we can go on and on and on. I could preach all day on this. This is good stuff. I remember I preached a sermon and it turned into a sermon series about the Holy Spirit. Right? It's just good, man. And so when Paul says, that's the Holy Spirit. And so he says in our verse this morning, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, here's the thing. Paul is not just picking on alcohol. He's not having an ADD moment, okay? He's purposeful, but what is his point? Well, here's the big point. We're to be filled with the Holy Spirit and with nothing else. You'll hear anything today, hear that. Be filled with the Holy Spirit and nothing else. Now, once we know Jesus, here's the reality. The Holy Spirit comes to reside within us, and he does not leave. I need us to hear this morning, right? He does not leave. Paul isn't talking about him saying, hey, I'm going to come and go, or you're going to lose me if you don't be filled up by me. That's not what he's saying. But here's what he's saying, and there's a reason there's a contrast here. What we are filled with, church, hear me. What we are filled with is what controls us. Do you hear me? What we are filled with is what controls us. And that is why Paul brings up alcohol. And so you know me, context is always important, right? And when we're reading passage. And I believe he uses being drunk with wine for two reasons. The first one is this. A lot of times when Paul is addressing a church in their culture, he also addresses cultural issues. All right? So in their day, there were many, in fact, it's still around today, but there were many all around them that were chasing and pursuing false teaching, false religions, right? Cults, right? Those types of things. They believed in false gods. They had false religions, and they engaged in pagan worship. And in some of those beliefs that surrounded the church in Ephesus, they believed that to get close to God, you needed to be drunk and engage in some very bad things. We got kids here, and we're online, okay? But very bad things. You're welcome, all right? Parents are like, whew, okay. But that's what they would do. They believed that when they engaged in drunkenness and these other worldly dark things, they believed that it increased their closeness or experience with a God. And Paul's saying, no. Don't do that. But the other reality is this. Paul is addressing the issue of alcohol here. He absolutely is. And really, any other worldly substance that fills us and controls us. Anything. And so we're clear. I just want to make this statement. Being controlled by drugs or alcohol is sin. Let's just knock that out of the park, okay? That's it, right? It's sin. And trust me, we can get into the conversation another time. Hang out with me. We'll talk about it and what we believe about alcohol in general, whether a Christian should or should not drink, right? We can talk about the freedoms that we have or don't have, the uses of alcohol. We can do all of that later, right? Because that's a great conversation to have. But with this particular point, there's no confusion. Paul says, do not get drunk with wine. That's what he says. For this is dissipation. Do we know what that word means? It means it leads to reckless living. Notice he's using the word drunkenness, okay? We'll talk about alcohol if you need to at a different time, but he's referring specifically to being controlled by alcohol. Old and New Testament passages clearly tell us that drunkenness is not for God's people. There are a lot of conversations, and there's some freedom, and there's interpretation on what alcohol we can and can't do, but let's just be very clear. Drunkenness is not for God's people. Being controlled by drugs or alcohol is sin. And the point Paul is making here is this. Don't be filled up with another substance, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Here's what we've got on the screen. We are to be filled with the Holy Spirit and not a worldly counterfeit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit and not a worldly counterfeit. Church, Paul is helping us understand that if we're filled up and controlled by anything, anything other than the Holy Spirit, we're not walking in wisdom and we cannot imitate God. Are you guys with me? We want to be who God's called us to be. We can't be filled and controlled by something else. When we are filled with something, we are led by that something. We're controlled by it. And so Paul has given us a contrast here. Worldly substance and the Holy Spirit. Right? What is filling us? What's filling you each week? What do you go to be filled up for different circumstances? Because it will lead and control you. When we think about drinking, specifically drunkenness, there's the sin of being drunk, but it's more than that. It leads to other sins because we lose control. Our flesh takes over, the alcohol takes over, or the substance, whatever it is. And just so we're clear, this could be food too, right? He's culturally talking about something here, but we go to a lot of things that fill us up, and those things control us. Alcohol itself leads to us saying or doing things we wouldn't normally do. And if we're filled with another substance, we cannot be filled and led by the Holy Spirit. So if you're wrestling with what I'm saying right now, let me just lay this out here for you. If you're filled with, if you are drunk with alcohol, that's sinful. It is. And you cannot be filled with the Holy Spirit during that moment. Are you with me, church? It's not that we lose God if we're not filled by Him. We're just not filled and led by Him in that moment. The Holy Spirit's not going anywhere. So He says, be filled with it, right? We want Him to fill us and lead us and therefore be in control. Why? So that we can imitate God. So that we can live as beloved children. So that we can follow Jesus and walk in love and light and in wisdom, because we can't do those things on our own. We've looked at this passage before, but Galatians 5:16 says this. He says, walk by the Spirit, and you will certainly not carry out the desire of the flesh. We are filled by the Spirit, church, when we walk by the Spirit. When we are listening to Him, when we listen to His voice over our flesh or over the world, when we are in the Word of God, we're being filled. When we're hearing from God, we're being filled. We're filled by the Spirit when we are in prayer, church. And here's the other thing. We can even be filled by the Spirit when we face certain situations in our life and depending on who we turn to. Because here's the reality. Our world, our flesh tells us, you know what? Man, I'm facing a tough time. I'm facing trouble. And we go to drug or alcohol or to food or anything else to be filled by that. Right? It helps us feel better. It gives us courage, right? That's what we say. But it's a counterfeit. We think it's going to fill a void or it's going to calm us or it gives us courage, right? Because we're feeling broken or we just don't want to do something or hear something or think about something, whatever the reason is. Church, that's why we got to know who the Holy Spirit is, because that bottle that you're drinking out of, that thing that you're smoking or doing or shooting, right, that food that you're shoving down your throat, it's not a comforter. It's not your counselor. We've got to know the Holy Spirit because He is your counselor. He is your helper. He is your advocate. He's your, right? That's who He is. He's the counselor and comforter. Church, when we're walking through difficult times, don't turn to the counterfeits. Turn to the counselor and comforter. Don't turn to the world's cheap alternative that leads to nothing. Turn to the helper and advocate. Turn to Him and listen to the Holy Spirit. Jesus Himself had said the Holy Spirit is coming to be those things. Turn to Him, church. Be filled by Him and be led by Him. Here's another thought. We don't get filled by something if it's only dripping into us. Right? A person doesn't get drunk if they just have a sip every now and then. Are you with me? We cannot be filled by the Holy Spirit if we only go to Him periodically. We can't be filled by the Holy Spirit if he's not doing anything but pouring into us. Be poured into by the and filled by the Holy Spirit. How do we do that? We walk with Him. We're in the Word of God. We're with God's people. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is at work when God's people are gathered and working together. Don't ever neglect that. Right? Be in prayer with God continually. Guys, think of going to God like an endless fountain. Think of him as like a continuous flow to be filled by. You know what? We treat God sometimes as like the fountain drink at McDonald's. Whenever we get thirsty or whenever we want to, we go and we get filled up periodically, right? That's not the Holy Spirit. Man, let him pour into you continually. And here's the thing. When you are filled by the Holy Spirit, the Bible's clear. You're led by him. You don't get to do the things that your flesh does because the Holy Spirit said, hey, I got you. Let's go. Right? Walk with me. And he leads us to imitate God, to follow Jesus, to walk in wisdom and love. And God's life, church, just begins to flow out of you. And so we're going to look at the remaining verses in our time together and just see results. Just throw this out there. There are some people that believe that these are commands that come out of there. I believe the Bible is saying when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, these are results. Either way, they're biblical and we should do them. All right, you ready? All right. Even if you're not, we're going for it. When we are rejecting a counterfeit and we are being filled by the Holy Spirit, certain things become evident in our lives. The Bible calls that fruit, right? So being filled means that we're spending time with God. We're in prayer with him, right? We're in his word with his people. Here's what it means. It means that we are with God, learning and seeing and experiencing his goodness and grace and love, and all that's just being poured into us. And then here are the results that we see as being filled by the Holy Spirit. Verses 18 through 19 says this: but be filled by the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Derek talked about that a bit ago. Singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. The first result, church, that we see here is that as Jesus followers, when we walk and are filled with the Holy Spirit, we become a singing people. We become a singing people. Singing to and about God is a result of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Here's the thing, church. We sing. We sing because God is just too great for us to only talk about him. Author Tony Morita says this: we're not just to think of his grace and speak of it. We're to feel it and rejoice in it. Now, I want to say this. I'm not picking on anybody when I say this next statement. Are you with me? All right? But sometimes people say, but Pastor, I'm just not the singing type. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says, okay? And there's a lot of reasons for that. Maybe you feel uncomfortable, right? Maybe you don't think that you have the best sounding voice, right? But we have to see what this is saying here. We sing when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's not just those that can sing and they're up here on stage or in a choir. It's not just talking about singing when you're by yourself. All those things are good and it's part of it. But I want us to think about this, all right? Think about it this way. Go back to high school and college, right? Go back to when you go to a ball game or an event and you hear the national anthem or you hear like a fight song. Think about those things. Those songs, church, they help us celebrate, remember, and be united. That's what they do. I remember back in high school, right? We would gather at a game or a rally, and man, it didn't matter if we sounded like howling dogs or if we had sang like angels, man. We sang the fight song. Amen, church, man. We sang it for our school and for our team, and we were united and we're cheering for victory. You go to an event and you sing the national anthem and those jets fly over and it gets really loud and everybody cheers, right? That song should help us be united as a nation. Those songs mean something to us. They help us celebrate. When we sing those songs, when we sing those songs, we're declaring to those around us, this is who we are and this is what we stand for. We sing for our school or for our college, and we sing because we're the land of the free and the home of the brave. Are you with me, church? Don't tell me you've never sang before. Now, high school, college, our nation, let me be very clear. They're nowhere near the level that God's on. They're nowhere near the level of our relationship with God. I'll tell you what, when I left high school, I never sang that song again. I want to magnify this, church. Listen, when we sing songs and we're singing, we're doing it to the greatest and the most worthy one ever. We sing songs about God, songs of victory, songs that are calling out to him, right? Songs of praise for who he is, right? Songs of thanksgiving and even songs of repentance. Throughout history, God's people sang. There are fight songs in the Christian world. There are battle songs as we think about our fight with sin and corruption and brokenness and even our enemy. Right? We sing songs, church, that declare who our King is. We sing about who Jesus is and what He did. We sing of His love for us and our love for Him. We sing songs out of Scripture that declare biblical truth. Singing has always been a great deal among God's people. And so when He says you're filled with the Holy Spirit and He goes right into singing, take that one up with God. All right? But here's the thing. My little brother. Sorry, Matt. That dude cannot sing. The only way he can sing is he holds a radio up, right? And just let it do it for him. But here's the thing I love about my brother. That dude will stand amongst everybody else and he'll let it rip just like everybody else. Why? Because it's not for them. It's for him. And whether it doesn't matter what he sounds like. So here's my thing. I will tell you this. And I, maybe I should. I love standing in front of people that cannot sing. And I love hearing their voices lifted up because they don't care. Because it's about Him, not them. Amen? Woo! Church, man, this is good stuff. It says this, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Church, speaking to one another. This is talking about it being publicly with God's people. All right? That's corporately. We are to sing together. He says in Psalms, right? That, I mean, we see all throughout the Psalms. It's the Psalm of Praise, right? It's known as the Book of Praises, the early church. So think about, let me go back. He says, sing to one another in Psalms, right? The early church would gather and sing those verses. They would sing the Psalms. But Psalm also refers to just vocal music in general, right? So we come and the Bible says, "Woo, we got to use our voice. Let's sing," right? And then he says in hymns. Now, there's different thoughts on all of these things, okay? But this is where my thoughts and my study has taken us. But here's the thing. My understanding on hymns is this. They are songs written to exalt. Songs focused on Jesus and exalting Him, like we see in Revelation chapter 4 and 5 with the gathered. Are you with me, church? Man, they're just exalting Jesus. Spiritual songs. This is understood to describe songs that sing a personal testimony, right? Personal songs, church, that express truth about God in our life. We sing about His salvation for us and His love and His power and His grace and His comfort and His protection and His presence in our life. Are you with me, church? Man, when you sing a song and you're just singing about God's that personal expression, that's what that's talking about. And then he says this, making melody with your heart to the Lord, songs that come from your heart. Guys, when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, we're to sing to God. We sing about Him. We sing to Jesus. Guys, why? Because there's no one more worthy of our adoration. I'm just saying, you can sing other songs. You can sing to Jesus. Amen? Right? When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us this. Don't blame me. The Bible tells us there's a melody in our heart. Melody in our heart. And so whether we're singing in private or we're singing in public, Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit are the source and the objects of our song. And notice the other two things mentioned. They're to one another and then to the Lord. When we sing together, we encourage one another, church. We stand united with one another. There is teaching and instruction in the songs. Guys, I'm going to tell you, we're not going to sing every song on the Christian radio because they're not all good. They're not. They made it to the radio for some reason, right? But they're not all true. They're not all biblically accurate. So we're gonna take time to make sure that they're true. Now here's the thing. We're in a different temporary season. You guys, temporary, amen, right? And at one point, we were all worshiping in our homes. Some still are because of health reasons, singing and worshiping with us, right? But the intent and the goal and the meaning behind this that Paul's talking about is that we're to do it together corporately. So let me tell you, if you're online, man, stand and sing and worship with us as we're singing. When the Lord leads you and you're comfortable and safe and you're ready, man, let's get together and sing corporately to be able to live out this passage. But our singing, church, it is to Him, it's for Him, it's about Him. He's the focus. Amen? The second result, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. We're a singing people when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, and we become a grateful people. Guys, when we have experienced the life and the grace and the forgiveness from God, we cannot help but become thankful and full of gratitude. That doesn't mean life is just peachy. Life is tough. I'm spending more and more and more and more and more time with people that are struggling. Amen? Right, it's a tough time. But God has shown us that He's good. Because when we were nothing but filthy rags, He says, I love you. And He came down and He died for us, church. We've got every reason to be grateful to Him. When we consider what God has done, man, that He has forgiven us. He's chosen us, adopted us, sealed us, died and rose again. How can we not live with gratitude to Him? It's got to be evident in our personal life, church, and together corporately. And we don't always feel like being grateful, do we? Like being thankful. We don't. Life is tough. Amen? It is. Be filled with the Holy Spirit, because that's how we become grateful. Then Paul closes by saying this, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. We're to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We become a singing people. We become a grateful people. In third church, we become a humble and submissive people. Become a humble and submissive people. He says this, when he's talking about this, he says, in the fear of Christ. That speaks of we do this out of respect and reverence and following Christ. Because of Jesus, because we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we become subject to one another. He doesn't say become subject to one another because they deserved it or that they earned it. It says out of Him, right? We're fear of Him. The word subject, right? We don't like to use that word, but it speaks of submission and humility. Too often we see this prideful attitude in the church among God's people. But God's word says we should be subject to one another, and that church takes humility. It takes humility. Let me be very clear. No one, not one person, is superior to any other believer. Now, we'll see over the next few weeks, and you see throughout Scripture that there are orders and there's roles, right? God calls us to be submissive to other people in roles that they play in your life, right? We're going to see God's design for relationships in the church because there are roles, there are responsibilities, there are those things. But first and foremost, we are a humble and submissive people together. We must come together seeing the value of your brothers and sisters in Christ. Here's what this means. We become people that put others before us. We become people that serve and care for one another. We set aside selfish thoughts and desires and personal agendas. We live humbly and subject to one another for the glory of God and for the good of one another. We're going to spend more time on that verse as we look to the following passages and focus on relationships. But when we are filled by the Holy Spirit, church, we become a singing people. We become a grateful people, and we become a humble and submissive people. I'm going to have Derek come on up here right now, and as he's making his way up here to give us some music, just to be able to kind of think through and give us that tone, I want us to think about this. Think about this, church. Remember, he's writing to the church in Ephesus. Think about a church gathered. Don't lose focus, guys. Hang on. Think about a church gathered, singing to and about the Lord, who is the one that we love and follow. Think about that. Think about a church gathered with gratitude in our heart, remembering who God is and what He's done. Think about a church gathered that is united and humble and serving one another and putting others before you. And they're putting them before you. You get what I'm saying? Like, it just goes both ways. Loving and caring for one another. Church, I think if we have this kind of church, it might turn the city upside down for Jesus. I think God knows what He's talking about. We're a singing people. We're a grateful people. We're a submissive and a humble people. Here's the thing, guys. You have to do it individually. You have to do it individually. And then we've got to do it corporately. Walking with God and being filled by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you don't even need to talk about application. This sucker just pointed it right out. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let Him pour into you. And guess what comes out? You just start singing. Right? Don't worry. One day you'll have a good voice if you don't. But it glorifies God, church. You become a grateful people, and you'll be a humble and submissive people. Hey, I want to tell you this. Next week, don't miss it. Don't miss it. We're going to come together, and we're going to take the Lord's Supper together. we're going to sing some more songs. We'll have a little bit of preaching in there, not as long as we have been doing. I'm going to edit that out. No, I'm just kidding. Hey, we're going to gather as God's people, and we're going to sing, and we're going to be united, and we're going to rejoice, and we're going to remember, and we're going to celebrate, and we're going to be grateful. And if we need to have repentance, we're going to do that. We're going to pray, church. Don't miss next week. Online, don't miss next week. All right? Let's pray. Father, we love you. God, we can't miss what it says. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We can't be filled if we're not walking with you and we're not letting you pour into us, God. God, help us get away from the attitude and the mentality of, oh, I'm feeling dry, I'm going to go get poured into. No, God, let us just sit underneath the fountain of your grace and your mercy and your love and your life. God, help us live lives where we're setting other things in life that are not a priority, things that are cheap counterfeits to who God is, and just pour into us, God. God, help us be a church that, because we're filled with the Holy Spirit, man, we don't care if we're in the car, if we're in the shower, if we're here, if we're in amongst a million people, we just sing because of who you are. God, help us be a church that gathers to worship and sing and make much of you. God, help us be a church individually and corporately that is grateful. God, we know life is tough. God, we know there are things that just don't make sense and things that we just look and say, why, God? Why? Why? But God, the reality is when we were a mess, when we were a sinner destined for hell, you rescued us from that when we deserved nothing. And God, this life is temporary. On earth, we'll be with you forever. We're grateful. God, help us love each other well. Help us put others before ourselves. Help us be united as your people. In Jesus' name. Church, just with your eyes closed, I just want to say this. If you're here today and you say, you know what? Man, I can't be poured into by God. I don't know him. I don't know this Jesus that you're talking about. I don't know God. I've been religious my whole life. I've tried to earn it, but you're saying you can't do that, right? You can't earn it. We don't deserve it. There's nothing that we can do to earn God and earn his salvation and earn his forgiveness. We don't deserve to be filled up by God, but yet he says he'll do it. It's not about working hard. It's not about being religious. It's about knowing Jesus as your personal Savior. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10 that if we confess that Jesus is Lord, that he's in charge, that he's God, that he's ruler, if we believe that Jesus came and died for us and rose again, it says we'll be saved. We'll be rescued from the pits of hell, rescued from the chains that we're tied to because of our sin. If you don't know Jesus today, that's what he has for you. Will you respond to Christ today with salvation? If you're online, jump on there, put it in the comments, email me, go to the connection card. Now, we want to tell you about Jesus. Jesus came to rescue you and give you a brand new life. Will you trust in him today? All right, church. Derek, would you lead us?
We're going to sing a song, Reckless Love. We've sang it before. Also means unheeding of things. The same word we use with the news.
just, hey, church, don't need to be seated or anything. We're just going to cover a couple things and then head out. Make sure that we're praying for our students, our families, our parents, as I do online teaching and stuff. Pray for our school district, our teachers, the leaders, that type of thing. Don't forget that. If you got a prayer request, you need to sign up for anything, fill that out, put it in the box in the back, and then also tithes and offerings to give back to the Lord so that we can continue to do what we do. You can do it online or in the back as well. So, God, we love you. Be glorified today. Fill us, God, so that we could be a singing people, a grateful people, and a humble and submissive people. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed, church.